Member-supported Jazz 90.1 proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. America, and all the chips in the PC. It is Saturday, the 10th day of December, Anno Domini 2022, and you, you lucky people, you're listening to Sound Bites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm I'm Steve Ray, I think.
Who apparently just went through puberty.
Yeah. No, he's all choked up about it.
Exactly.
Just to be here, you know.
Yep. Yeah, as are we all. And it's 6 minutes after the hour. We're all choked up to be bringing you news, views, things to choose, nothing to lose. Kick off your shoes. Don't get the blues. Here comes the news. All right. So you may have noticed that the Soundbites website has changed a tiny bit. And I've gotten a bunch of questions about it, possibly a metric bunch and a half. So here's the scoop. Up until last Saturday, our website ran on WordPress. In fact, it ran on WordPress for many years. And generically speaking, WordPress is a pretty secure product, up to a point. The problem is that WordPress is not generally used as a single monolithic product. One of the best things about WordPress is that there are a zillion plugins for all kinds of features, forums, polls, maps, editors, etc. And each of these plugins is made by someone different, and they're updated all the time. So you have a bunch of different programmers all trying to connect disparate software without actually talking to each other, and you just have to hope they get it all right and don't introduce security holes while they're doing it. Yeah, good luck with that. Last Saturday, instead of coming to Soundbites, I went to a funeral. Of course, I put my phone in Do Not Disturb mode. When I eventually ended Do Not Disturb mode, my phone blew up with messages from users, automated messages from WordPress, and automated messages from the monitoring software I wrote. So I went home to work on it. Hours later, I gave up. We'd been hit and hit hard. Bot after bot after bot had gotten to us, and exploits piled on top of exploits. Given the mood I was in after the funeral, I just wiped it all out and wrote my own code, but not in the dark. I've been gathering statistics on our site for years, and the biggest things people go after on our site are the links to things we discussed on the show. Forums used to be big, but have really dropped off in recent years as people move to Discord or Twitter or whatever. And I kept the poll because I like the poll. Heck with everybody else, I like the poll. Although fewer people vote in it anymore, and I wish that were different. I haven't yet decided on some sort of feedback form since they're dominated by bots these days, too. We'll see. Anyway, our poll of the week at soundbites.org, that is bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you, is the new, don't bother with the ding because there's no other anymore, the new Soundbites website. And your choices are, I love it, I'm okay with it, we'll see, I hate change, and wait, you changed something? There you go. And of course, there's no more other anymore because there's no forum in which to say something. So far, there's 30 votes in the poll. And I love it. Thank you. Is just barely ahead of I'm okay with it. That's all. Those are both positive.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. And then, of course, there are the
we'll
people
take
who,
it.
There are the two people who hate change. We all hate change. That's fair. I'll talk about it more in a minute. But, of course, if you have something to say about that or dang near anything or ask a question or whatever, you can give us a call. 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 1-800-790-0415.
Any chance of getting all the old links back?
Probably not. I was speaking to Dave about that earlier.
That's database format are they in? And
yeah, and that's part of what got screwed up. Somebody was trying to break into the database.
And you could wind up by trying to pull that stuff in, inherit more issues than you want to shake a stick at.
I'm not done trying, but I'm not going to make any promises. And It doesn't matter because in about 3 weeks we'll have it pretty well.
Well, the thing of it is, though, there's so many other new things. Right. A lot of it was older stuff. And if it becomes an issue, gee, our callers will call in and ask us. And, you know, that's where we can do it.
Come back again.
And probably give them more up-to-date information.
Right.
Because a lot of that stuff might have been okay then, but then who knows, there might be something else that changed that.
Right. So, at any rate, that is the new website. It is up and running. I do have some tweaks that I'm going to do to it.
No.
We're not quite done yet, but it's moving right along, and I'm actually pretty pleased with it.
One thing I've noticed on my Safari and also on excuse me on Chrome, the our logo gets cut off by the curve.
Yeah, but now watch it while you scroll.
It gets cut off more.
It doesn't move until you reach the bottom of the page.
Yeah, and yep.
Yep. Yeah, I could move it.
I even tried getting a really wide screen, and I could see a little more of it, but not the whole thing. So you need to put that on top of the layer? I don't know.
Yeah, I'll play with it. It's not the most important thing yet.
Yeah.
So, yes.
And podcasters, you may need to refresh your feed or resubscribe to the new feed because it is a new URL.
Right. But it does work in dang near everything I've tried it in. So we're good.
And what was kind of nice is that when I updated the URL in Apple's podcast program, it still knows all the old episodes too.
Nice. So that's good. Well, they were downloaded probably.
Well, Apple doesn't download them. They just link to them on our site. So they're linking to see what's already there based on your XML file.
Right.
Yeah.
And I had to... Well, here's the thing that confused me. Most of the podcasting programs I want a picture that's 512 by 512.
Mm-hmm.
Apple wants 1400 by 1400 as a minimum.
Right. And I made it 2000 by 2000. To get more, and now that cast feed link thing is saying, your file's a little big.
Yeah, exactly.
Before it told me the art was missing. Now it's saying the file's too big.
And so it's 1400 by 1400. Get over it.
Yeah. It wants 14, not 2, 14.
Right. So, but it is up and running, and if you have any suggestions, polite suggestions, you can give us a call. I do have to put some sort of feedback form in there, but I've just, every time I use a feedback form, I get bots, nothing but bots. And, you know, if you've got a site that only a few people know about, okay. Right. Okay.
But when you get popular,
we've
been doing this
for
33 years.
Right. We're all over the world.
Yeah.
So we get hit quite constantly.
Mm-hmm.
And so there we are. That's where we stand with that. If you've got suggestions or comments, please give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free, 1-800-790-0415.
I've got another important announcement, which both of you should be interested in.
Okay.
They're in the refrigerator fermenting.
Oh, yeah.
And what I'm talking about, folks, for any of you newbies out there, is since we're not going to be here on Christmas Eve, we traditionally on Christmas Eve always have the annual Rumball show. So since we're not going to be here on the 24th, I have already started. As a matter of fact, I made them up yesterday, and they are now in the fridge fermenting the rum balls, and they will be here for next Saturday's show for the annual Rum Ball Soundbite Show.
Maybe I won't change the explicit tag till after that.
Yeah.
One. There you go. Fair warning.
Yeah, nice. Yeah. One of the things that I did was I set our iTunes wants to know whether the podcast has explicit language in it. And every once in a while, one of us will slip, and every once in a while, one of you will slip. And so I said yes, but the reality is 99.9% of the time, we're not explicit.
Yeah, no.
And so
we might get a very zealous about some of the stuff that, you know, we get into and do. And sometimes when folks don't always listen to the information we're trying to give them,
right,
they want to continue talking about whatever they want.
I just get a kick out of what is considered bad and good to different people.
Yeah.
I remember years ago we were talking about a proxy program to filter stuff for kids. And one of the things it filtered was wrestling. And the parent got really mad. Why is it filtering that?
Yeah.
Well, they're way skimpy costumes, I suppose.
Well, that was the problem AOL had. Right?
Oh, yeah.
When they filtered the word breast,
yep,
which got rid of a lot of bad stuff, but also made it impossible to talk in the breast cancer forum,
yep,
which was a support group for people with breast cancer. So they had some problems there. Anyway, let's go to the phones. Our first caller is Dan from Rochester, New York. Hiya, Dan. What's up?
Hi. Wishing everybody happy holidays.
And the same to you.
I'm looking at a phone. It's a Samsung phone, a Galaxy Nexus, and it's running something called CyanogenMod 9, and it seems to be stuck in a boot loop. I'm constantly seeing this animated figure, and it doesn't go any further, and it doesn't let me shut the phone off. And I'd like to recover the photos that are on it, but I can't seem to get past this animation. Any ideas?
Yeah, usually you erase it and install a new OS.
But that is the OS.
Right, and that will get your phone working again, but you'll lose all the data that's on it.
Right. CyanogenMod is a replacement operating system.
A custom Android.
Custom Android thing, and it works on Galaxy Nexuses and Galaxy S and S3 and a bunch of other phones, mostly Galaxy phones, and some Sony Ericssons, a couple of LGs, etc., etc. The thing is it version 9?
Yes, Mod 9.
Mod 9 is no longer being developed.
I think CyanogenMod itself is no longer being developed. From what I'm seeing, Mod 11 in 2017 was the last version.
Yeah. So it may not be a viable system anymore. So there's not much I can tell you except that if you can download it somewhere and replace it, you'll get the phone running again. But as Steve said, if they haven't been backing anything up, that stuff will be lost.
Sometimes there's a disk mode where you can force the phone into being a USB disk rather than a phone.
Like hooking it up to a computer?
Right, but it often has to boot far enough to know that.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, it can't hurt to try it and see what happens.
Yeah.
But
quite often you're going to attach it to a computer through a USB port, and it'll see it as a device. And hopefully, you know, like Steve was saying, depending on how far it gets into the boot, whether it can actually get in there and access the files and all that on that particular phone.
Also, CyanogenMod 9 is 10 years old.
Yeah.
And version 13 was the last version released. Five years ago when it was discontinued.
Right.
Is there any software that would run on the PC that would recognize it specifically, or...
It has nothing to do with the PC or Mac or Linux machine.
It's the device.
It's the device itself. When you connect a device, it has to say, oh, look, I'm a hard drive.
Yep.
Or
I'm a Samsung whatever phone.
Right.
And the Samsung Galaxy Nexus does not support USB mass storage mode, only MTP and PTP mode, which you have to turn on in the settings of a booted phone.
You may be SOL with that one, I'm afraid. There's no, it's a 10-year-old operating system, and the only hope is that they've been backing up.
There is an app called Android File Transfer that was designed to transfer files from Android there's a Mac version and a Windows version. It's possible that would work, but I kind of doubt it. I'll put a link on our new link list.
Hey, new link
not,
list.
Because yeah. it's not getting all the way in.
Yeah, because the other end isn't booted yet.
Right, yeah, and it's right. going to sit there and wait and wait and wait. But it's worth a try.
Worth a try. The other piece of information I have on this is that it has Clockwork Mod installed, so it has Recovery Mod available, but I don't know if I can even get to that if I can't get past the splash screen.
Yeah, the Clockwork Mod, I don't know much about it. I've heard of it, but I don't know much about it. But I suspect that's not going to work either. You're right, it is a recovery program, but again, unless you know where it was saving stuff to, I don't know how you're going to get stuff back. If you can't boot the phone, you can't get into Clockwork Mod, and if you can't get into Clockwork Mod, you can't restore.
Right.
Kind of a vicious circle.
Yeah.
And the factory restore will just wipe everything right out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks for your wise counsel.
Yep. Thank you.
It is possible somebody like DriveSavers could fix the phone, yeah. could recover the data from the phone. But considering your previous experience with DriveSavers, you know, put it in a nice, not DriveSavers, but okay. FedEx okay. shipping on. Company losing your package and put it in a bigger package maybe.
Right.
But that's, again, that gets expensive.
Right.
But, yeah, sometimes that's where it comes down to. You know, it's possible that the phone was backing up either to their Samsung account or their Google account. But if it wasn't running Samsung Android or Google Android, probably not. That's makes it tough.
Apparently, there's only two L's in loop. Wow.
Depends on how many of them you do.
Right.
There could be a lot more than two.
Like Google. Yeah. Back to the phones. Our next caller is Andy from Greece, New York. Hi, Andy. What's up?
Hey, Nick. Just a thought. If that's running that old of an operating system, that's an old phone. The memory should still be removable, the SD card. And it's possible
maybe.
Some of the pictures,
good thought.
Some or all of the pictures are on the SD card.
Good
I know
thought.
I personally set my phone up when I had phones with the memory cards. I always put all the phone memory pictures on the card. So if I changed phones, I could just move it over.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good shot.
Good thought. Thank you.
You're welcome. Have a good day.
Have fun. Yeah, that's a good thought.
Yeah, it's worth it. Again, it's worth a try. Put the micro SD card in one of those little adapters if you have it, and put it into a USB drive or into a computer and see if it's got anything on there that you could pull out as far as JPEG files.
Yeah,
just do a search on it for JPEGs.
Right, he's right. We forget that older devices had more options available to them.
That's pretty
that's a very
sad.
Good thought. Yeah. Well. Yeah. Well, you know what? It's a lot cheaper. I mean, Apple has been doing that for the longest time. Everything gets soldered on. You can't add or remove. It just makes it less expensive to make the device.
Planned obsolescence.
And things have kind of filtered out into Android versus iOS, and
right.
all the other things have kind of gone away.
Right. And most phone developers, not just Apple, but most phone developers, have followed that same course. If you solder everything to a single board or create a bespoke single board, it's a lot less expensive in the long run to do that than it is to, you know, have a separate card for this and a separate card for that. And that means you have to have all kinds of connectors for all those things. And it's just a pain in the neck.
Yep.
And it's much cheaper to make a phone without those things. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Mark from Greece, New York. What's up, Mark?
Hey, gentlemen. How are you?
Peachy, how are you?
Good. Happy holidays.
And the same to you.
Thank you. Hey, Dave, speaking of the holidays, aren't you missing Marshmallow World?
That was so annoying listening to three different versions the last year that I worked at Home Depot. Like I say, they put it in the rotation. Three different versions of that stupid song. And what people don't realize...
Look in the library. Maybe we have it.
I got... And you will never hear it on here. We used
to, but, if Rob is listening, I bet we will.
But folks would sit there. Oh, I got the kill switch. Dump button.
Yep.
But no, we used to get at the store at 6 and work until 2:30. And that's, you know, they had played the same block every hour.
Well, looks like it's been covered by a dozen different people.
Oh, yeah.
Bing Crosby apparently was the first big one.
Yeah, but we used to have the Dean Martin version, and we hated that. The because they started right at Thanksgiving.
Regis Philbin did a cover version in 2005.
Wowzer!
Seth MacFarlane did one.
Yeah, but
2014.
Andy, do you answer to your question or Mark? No. I'd miss that like a good case of hemorrhoids.
It's almost like the Windows Millennium Edition question.
Oh,
right.
You're getting dangerous.
Yeah. Anyways, what I wanted to say is something very strange happened, and it took me a week to figure it out. But a few years ago, I bought a Bluetooth dongle for the computer so I could use my Bluetooth headphones on it. And all of a sudden, I noticed last week, it was probably right after you guys went off the air, actually, I went to my computer, and everything I did was, if I scrolled in Explorer, it'd scroll up, it'd scroll back down. If I went on into the menu, the Windows menu, it'd scroll up, it'd scroll down. Only place I could scroll was on the Internet, and that was it. And I could not figure out what was going on, and one day I looked, and I noticed that my Bluetooth icon wasn't in my system tray. And I tried to get it running. I couldn't get it running. Finally, I unplugged it, and the whole system stabilized.
Nice. How a lot of times we'll see it's something sitting on, like, the down arrow key. I can't scroll up because it just shoots right back down again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shot up. It shot down. I couldn't click on anything in the start menu. Forget it. It wasn't working. But the funny thing is that I'm not even using a Bluetooth mouse. I'm using a wireless mouse. So
they're coming off the same system, right? I mean they're all Bluetooth and
RF.
RF are generally speaking
same frequency.
The single chip.
Yeah.
So if one of them is...
They might be maybe a half a, you know, a hertz one way or the other.
So it's
I was so upset you guys had just gotten off the air and it happened.
Well, that's the way it works.
That's the way we plan it.
It's like your teeth stop hurting when you go to the dentist.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I just wanted to tell you that I was so upset that I couldn't call you and ask you maybe if you could figure it out, but I finally did after about 4 days.
Well, excellent. You're officially persistent. Now a guru. Congratulations.
Oh, boy. I'm a guru.
Oh, boy.
Oh. I get to handle everybody else's problems.
I was just about to say, don't tell your friends.
Yeah, oh, they all know. That's who. My whole family calls me constantly.
Sure. They shouldn't. Your name is Mark.
Yeah. My sister called me and asked me, what's wrong with my cable box? I don't know.
All right, listen, we got to take a break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 29 minutes after the hour. You're listening to the longest running computer show in the known universe. That would be Sound Bites, right here on the truly great, and we can't say it often enough, truly grateful to you that we continue to be member supported, Jazz 90.1. See you in just a couple of minutes.
Computer talk you can understand. More Sound Bites is next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 35 minutes after the hour, we are Sound Bites. I'm going to read a news item, and then we'll get back to the phone. So if you want to get in the queue, we have one person waiting. But if you want to get in the queue, it's 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299, toll-free 1-800. 790-0415.
Q is one of those interesting words. It's a letter you pronounce followed by four silent letters.
Right.
Thank you.
How much of Q is silent?
Yeah.
That's a good question. On Thursday, Google announced two new performance settings in its Chrome browser, Memory Saver and Energy Saver. Modern browsers eat up a lot of memory, and while that's not a problem if you have 12 gig of RAM, Chrome uses multiple gigabytes of your memory. Using multiple gigabytes of your memory can quickly slow your machine down if you're on a machine with lower specs. The Memory Saver mode promises to reduce Chrome's memory usage by up to 30% by putting inactive tabs to sleep. The tabs will simply reload when you need them again. The energy, and then for somebody like you, has what, 240 tabs open constantly?
Close to it.
Yeah, yeah.
Right now I've slimmed it down. I'm down to 20.
Oh man, you're really the
I'm slow tearing. Yeah, I know. I'm slacking off.
The Marie Kondo of tabs.
Thank you.
The energy saver mode, meanwhile, limits background activity and visual effects for sites with animations and videos when your laptop battery level drops below 20%. The features are now rolling out with the release of Chrome 108 and will be available globally for Windows, Mac OS, and Chrome OS in the coming weeks. You can exempt individual sites from going to sleep or, of course, turn these features off completely. Google's announcement comes a day after Microsoft announced that its Edge browser put 1.38 billion tabs to sleep in September alone. According to Microsoft, the Kevorkian of tabs. According to Microsoft, sleeping a tab in in Edge typically saves 83% of the memory it would normally occupy. That's not the amount of memory of the entire browser. It's 83% of the memory of that tab. Microsoft rolled out its version of these features, which can automatically put tabs to sleep after 5 minutes of inactivity and can bring this down all the way to 30 seconds of inactivity, by the way, a couple of years ago, and then once again improved it with the release of Edge 100 earlier this year. Edge also features a gaming mode, which can automatically reduce CPU usage when it detects you are playing a game on your PC. So how's your memory? No, your computer's memory. Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free, 1-800-790-0415.
Yeah, I use, at least five tabs just for my email addresses.
Yeah.
And then I've got, if you do Facebook, and then there's six different sites that I use for my ham radio. And then a number of other ones that I use for other stuff that I'm doing. So, yeah, on an average, 19 to 20 tabs are marked automatically. The minute I open it up, does that, and then I'll add more if I need it, but for the most part, I keep it down to that. It was a lot more.
I have, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I say Chrome has always been known as a memory hog, especially with a lot of tabs open.
Yeah.
Right. What I did was I had the same issue, and then I just moved all my mail to Thunderbird and Evolution because I with the various companies I'm working with and the various stuff I'm doing, I monitor a lot of email addresses. So I need to have them available to me. But by doing it in Thunderbird, one set is in my private one. My personal ones are in Thunderbird, and the business ones are in Evolution. I can keep track of them much easier, and it takes less memory.
Well, the other thing I like is the feature of, with Google, you get the email address, and then you also get 15 gigs of storage.
Right.
So, I've got one email address that I use, and that particular G Drive, for my personal stuff, one for backing up my wife's stuff on another one, and then one for my ham stuff. So, it's free memory. Free storage, 15 gig. And again, I don't worry about the programs. I only worry about the documents.
Of course.
Because the photos automatically go up to Google Photos. I've got both me and my wife's set for that. So, that's convenient. But, yeah, tabs are so much easier now compared to the old days when we'd have to close it down, start it again, or switch to another browser. They didn't have tabs back then, folks.
That's right. Yep.
You just had to restart the browser and retype it in something else.
We had to browse uphill both ways in the snow.
Yes.
I read a question on Reddit that Someone said Microsoft Edge has crashed with his 1600 tabs open, and every time he hits restore, it'll crash again. But how do I get my 1600 tabs back? Or maybe even, you know, how about just a URL list of all my, because I really need those 1600 tabs.
1600 tabs?
Yeah, so he looked in his saved session, but there's only 1400 tabs in the saved session, so it doesn't have them all.
Too bad.
So half the comments on the thread are, is this for real?
Yeah, right. That's my suggestion would be it's a troll.
Is that a fish?
All right, to the phones. Our next caller is Fred from Rochester, New York. Thanks for waiting, Fred. What's up?
Hey, welcome back, Nick. And
thanks.
Sorry for your loss.
Thank you so much.
I got questions strangely on browsers for my phone. I have a Samsung Galaxy A32 5G with One UI of 4.1. And I have the developer mode enabled, and I have forced dark mode, which is supposed to give me dark mode on sites that don't normally have dark mode.
Right.
So in the Firefox browser, everything comes up in dark mode. In the Chrome browser, when you first open it up and your Google search, all the search items come up in a browser, then you go, oh, there's the site I want, and you click on it, it's not dark mode.
Right.
Settings in the Chrome browser are dark. Setting in the Firefox is dark for theme. But I'm not getting...
Yeah. I don't know if there's a Chrome setting...
To override.
I'm finding one how to force dark mode on every website.
Yeah.
Because auto dark mode isn't working.
Yeah, and what is that?
You go into Chrome /flags.
Flags, okay.
And search for dark. Should get you to the section.
Where it'll shed some light on it?
Yeah.
I couldn't resist it.
Yeah. I got a couple good ones. I think one of them took me a minute to figure out, but a little slow this morning or afternoon. So if I use Firefox, there's one website that I buy hardware and tools from occasionally. It's called Zorro.com. I'm denied access to it in Firefox, but it works okay in Chrome.
Does it say why you're denied access to it?
There's a number. I don't, it was in real tiny print, and there's a number, but I didn't remember it.
What was the website name again?
It's Zorro, Zorro.com.
With one R. Okay.
Yeah, two R's is somebody else. Usually when you get a message like that, it's a certificate error. Their certificate has expired or... now their certificate expires September 8th, or it's signed by their parent company. Oftentimes it will tell you why it's not letting you in. Let me try it in my Firefox. Is your Firefox up to date?
Yep. It's on, I'm working strictly from my phone, so.
That could be the difference between phone
the
and
phone
a laptop.
Browser.
Yeah. Phone browsers are a lot, more restricted, I should say.
Yeah, I'm getting it's a DigiCert certificate, so it's working okay on my...
Do you get any kind of error message?
Yeah, it's like I said, but I don't remember.
He didn't write it down.
Yeah, that's the... It may well be that it's using some sort of plug-in that works on a desktop.
On the phone,
but
the limitations
of
a phone versus laptop.
So without knowing what that error message is, I'm afraid there's not much we can do except guess, and there's no point in that.
Notice, you know, in your browser, if you open up the browser in your phone versus on your computer, you're going to see a lot more features on your computer versus your phone.
Okay, on the website, it says you do not have permission to access HTTP, et cetera, Zorro.com on this server. reference.
Does that say HTTPS or just HTTP?
HTTP colon.
Yeah. In a lot of cases, in particular on the phone, they will prevent you from hitting a non-secure website.
Okay.
And there's...
That must be just Firefox, because in Chrome it works fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, so if you type in HTTPS colon slash slash, it may work.
Oh, I had at one point, I had a link saved from their website. One of the things I like better about Firefox is that if I want to save the website that I've gone to, I can touch and hold the menu, the address rather, and then it gives me the option to copy. If I do that in Chrome, it goes back to a blank window.
Yes. It's a different mechanism to save something, and I get that. Yep. Yeah, on the Chrome browser, I think it's in the hamburger menu, I think.
There's a little a star. Well, on the desktop version, there's a star that
star.
You tap.
You click on that, and it opens up and says, would you like to file this bookmark?
And it defaults to your favorites.
Or you could create another folder or move it into a different folder.
Yeah, on Chrome in the phone, it's the three-dot menu. And if you look down in there, one of the choices is bookmark.
Well, I can do a bookmark, but I'm not in, I wanted to put it in the, okay, so I have an account with Zoho, and I want to put their, a particular page that I saved, and I want to put it in my NPass with that, I want to put that address.
Mm-hmm.
It could be a long address. It'd be zoho.com, yada, slash, slash, all those slashes that get me to the right page.
Oh, you just want to copy the URL.
Yeah.
Well, usually once you get there, you can right-click on it and say copy.
He's on a phone. And usually what I find is you tap and hold and you get it.
If you tap and hold, yes, it clears out the search bar. But right underneath the search bar, you see the URL, and there's a share, copy, and edit button.
Oh, okay.
So you just have to look down one.
I have to hit the share.
Or you can hit the share, you can hit the copy.
Oh, okay, hit the copy. That works.
And then you can paste it into NPass.
Okay. I guess I didn't hold it and look at the stuff after it.
There you go.
So the new things coming up with the Chrome browser, is that going to be for phones and Chromebooks as well?
Theoretically, eventually, it'll be for everything. It's going to be a slow rollout, though, so you may not see that first.
Ah. Okay.
The plan is yes. The plan is yes. The reality is when?
Soon.
So, yes, eventually, anyway. But
nothing spoils a plan like releasing it to the public.
Right. They're going to start with Windows, Mac OS, and Chrome OS.
That would be Chromebook.
That would be Chromebooks, not your phone. So,
right. Okay.
They will get there eventually, but not day one. Hello?
Where do I get to that, yeah, they wrote it down. That Chrome flags.
Chrome colon slash slash flags.
Okay.
And that will show you a list of all of the flags Chrome has and search for dark.
Ah, okay. I got you.
And I also posted a link as well.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I'll go right over there. Yeah, I'm sorry that you lost all your other links, because there was a bunch of stuff in there that, you know, I would go back to from time to time and say, you know, when I had more need of that information.
Right. Well, I'm looking to see if I can retrieve all of that.
And they'll slowly come back again as people ask similar questions.
Yeah, you ask for it again, call us, and we'll, you know, pop it up. And like I was saying before at the start of the show, you know, even though we had links there from before, people calling in now and asking for, you know, this particular link or that type of information, it's probably going to be updated information. So, you know, it's a win-win all the way around.
Right.
Okay.
All right.
Well, thank you for your help.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, that is one thing. If you've got a link that's a year old,
yeah,
in all likelihood, we've seen often enough where the link changes.
Yep. And one of the things I hate when I'm searching for stuff is there's no date on the article.
Right.
And so you're working your way down through figuring out, well, is this going to work for me? And then it's talking about screens you don't have,
right?
And then finally figure out, oh, this article is 10 years old,
right? And even on our site, I've got when we put that link in, but that that's not the same as when that link actually happened,
right?
And who knows if some of those links are still even viable?
Well, that's the point. At some point, I suppose I should write some link rot stuff, but. Give me a chance.
Yeah.
back to the phones. Our next caller is Don from Pittsford, New York. What's up, Don?
Quick question. Pertaining to PC running Windows 10 with two CD DV disk drives in it, is there a software available, free or pay, that allows me to transfer to copy directly from one drive to the other without going through putting the file in memory and then coming back and burning?
Wasn't there what was that?
There's a bunch of disk copy programs.
Ensure? What was that one? Yeah, there are a number of them that is, if you've got two of the same drives.
Clonezilla.
But that's still going to bring it into memory and then write it out to the drive.
Well, how else is it going to get from one drive to another drive?
That's my point. I don't think there is any way to do that.
But you don't have to save it to your disk and then burn it to a new disk. It just it reads the one disk, the files in the memory, and then writes it out to the other disk without storing it on your internal drive.
Right. Yeah, because before directly. It would sit there and say, all right, now put in the blank disk. And you'd have to, the tray would come out and you'd have to put in the blank disk and it would close and say, do you want to format this? And say no, and then say, go ahead and burn it.
Right.
Whereas two, it'll sit there, copy it into memory, and then once it's got it all, it then writes it to the next device.
Right.
Probably any of the ripping programs will let you, you'd rip a second copy. I'm looking for a disk copy. We would do that on the Mac in Disk Utility, let you copy directly from one disk to another disk.
But there's nothing comparable in the PC world?
EaseUS. They have a backup program as well as a copy program. Mm-hmm.
What I'm trying to do is save the time of going into a memory, copying the disk to memory, and let's say, for instance, it would be a music CD with about that size of information. The time it would take to go into the memory and then go back and burn to the second.
No, it's still going to do it. It's still got to write it to memory. It's got to read it into memory, and then go over to the next disk and then write it out.
I know what you're asking for, and they do make devices that do that, but they're not computers.
Right.
Well, it's a standalone computer.
Well, yeah, with two drives but it's in not it, yeah. Your computer, yeah. Is what I'm saying. It's it's a device you can purchase that is not cheap.
If you're copying one disk, and I want 10 copies of it, then it can write 10 copies at a time, one at a time.
Right.
Yeah.
There is a program called WinX DVD Ripper Platinum.
WinX DVD, what's next?
Ripper Platinum.
Ripper.
And it says it will rip a full... Well, that's a ripper. It rips a full DVD to MP4s in 5 minutes. Hey, Skia. But that's not the, yeah, exactly what you're asking for.
I'm searching for copying a disk.
Right.
Right. And I'm wondering, is there would there be various software programs, one being faster than another in terms of completing the whole project?
Well, it depends on your machine.
The write speed of the drive is the limiting factor.
And whether the type of processor you've got also, how much memory you've got. There's a lot of different factors that go into it. They can sit there and tout that, oh, yes, it'll do this and so, but it's also reliant on of your the factor of your computer. There's a lot of variables there.
Of course. Okay.
There's one called CD Burner. Oh, this is from 2016. Stupid. Mm-hmm. It may still exist, but let's look for a newer one.
Yeah, the basic problem here is that you cannot be faster than the write speed of your drive.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That simply is never gonna happen. So if you've got a fast enough machine, that can happen in the background while you're doing other things. If your machine is older or slower or of a lower
vintage
or size, so for example, if you've got an i3 processor as opposed to an i7 processor or an i9, then you may not have enough oomph in your machine to do that and something else at the same time. But that has, but that's just a, you know, there are limitations in hardware. There's no magic.
Is a limitation how much, what percentage of the memory I have dedicated to, if you will, outside activity, and changing that for on one occasion to provide more memory available?
No, because again, the fastest thing in your machine is reading into memory. And, the slowest thing is writing out to that disk. It doesn't matter how much you have in memory.
And the CD is only 700 megs of memory. So a 1 gig machine is enough to do it.
Right. It's not how fast you can read the data. It's how fast you can write the data.
Okay. And finally, where do you suggest that I go to research this and try, presumably there are some free programs, to familiarize myself and try some that might work?
Just Google how to copy a CD.
Or DVD.
Well, DVD.
Copy DVD.
Windows Media Player will do it.
Oh, well, I've got that.
There you go.
So the first, it's multiple steps, but you rip one disk, and that creates a file on your hard drive, and then you can write as many copies of that as you want.
But if you have
two physical drives, you have one reader drive and one writer drive.
Right. Well,
they're probably both readers.
If they both come up as drives on your system, you should just be able to drag and drop.
Well, they do. I was hoping that it could be drag and drop without an interim step.
Again, I'm sorry, but the reality is that you will never be faster than the write speed of the drive you're writing to. I don't care what other magic you want to perform, you cannot be faster than that.
Okay, I hear the music. Thank you, gentlemen.
Yep, gotta go. All right. That music tells us that you have wasted an entire hour of your life with this nonsense, but do not despair. There's an entire another hour of the longest-running computer show in the known universe coming your way. That's right. A whole nother hour of Dave Enright, a whole nother hour of Steve Ray, a whole nother hour of Nick Francesco, and most importantly, a whole nother hour of you. Give us a call, 585-966-5299, 1-800-790-0415. And after this longer break, take a quick little bio break for yourself, but do come back for the second hour of the longest-running computer show in the known universe. That's Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1. See you on the other side.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
This is 90.1 WGMC Greece Rochester, a public service of the Greece Central School District.
Streaming online at jazz901.org.
Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Get online now. Call 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 5 minutes after the hour, we are hurtling headlong into the second hour of the longest-running computer show in the known universe. That would be Soundbites, right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
For our previous caller, there are standalone disk duplicators that just two drives. You put a disk you want to copy and a blank disk in and go away for a few minutes.
Right.
And depending on how much you want to pay, you can copy one disk at a time or 10 disks at a time.
Or 120 disks at a time.
Yeah.
All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Mark from Greece, New York. Hiya, Mark. What's up?
I might have a solution for the gentleman.
Oh, nice.
If he had a third drive, meaning maybe even a USB drive for burning or playback, he could use a program like Nero, and Nero will let you select how many recorders you want to use.
That's the program I was trying to think of. Nero's been around for decades.
And you use it on the fly instead of, it says it's dangerous, obviously.
So it can go from disk to disk? It doesn't have to make an image first?
Nope, because you can tell it to burn on the fly.
Yep, I remember it was a red disk.
I kept thinking Roxio Toast, but that was the Mac version.
Yeah. Nero.
And I have 2017. I don't know about the newest version, but it still worked in 2017. Burn on the fly, and you can select how many burners you want.
And they've been around for a long time, too.
Yep.
Yeah, Nero's a good program. I didn't think of Nero. I didn't know it did that. That's nice.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not cheap. It's probably going to run at least $100 for the program.
Right.
And they used to give it away free when you bought the drive.
Well, Nero Burning ROM is the Rip Copy Burn software, is about half of what you said.
Oh, okay. They brought it down then.
Prices.
I know.
I will paste a link to that as well.
Yeah, and then if he doesn't have a third drive, I mean, he can get a DVD drive relatively cheap. I mean,
well, you don't need it depends. I don't know that Don was actually looking to make multiple copies.
Mm-hmm.
He just didn't want to have to wait for the copy he was making.
Well, that'll do it on the fly then, yeah.
Right.
So will, I think, a shampoo, another free software.
Right. If he can mount both of them as drives, which I believe Windows 10 can now do,
mm-hmm.
he should just be able to drag and drop and move along to something else while it works in the background.
He could do that too. Yep.
Yeah. So it's not impossible to do what he wants to do. It's just going to take time, but he doesn't have to wait. He can move on to something else.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
The simple fact is you cannot beat physics. And it takes a certain amount of time to burn a disk, and nothing's going to change that.
Yep. And the burning speeds have kind of topped out. I think 52X was the most I've ever heard of, and then they stopped counting.
Most of them don't do 52X.
Yeah, you're lucky to get 4X.
16X
if you want a reliable burn, you do it at 1X.
Right.
My internal that I got in 2017 burns up to 52X on CDs.
Right.
Yeah. And if you're doing an audio CD, X is 72 minutes.
Yep. So and I think 16 is DVDs max, and they don't even suggest you burn that fast.
Right.
You're probably going to get some errors.
There's also diminishing return. So at 16X, you're at 4 minutes. So 32X is 2 minutes.
Yeah.
So
yeah. Right.
64X is 1 minute. So it's and actually writing the lead in and lead out tracks will probably take longer than writing the data track.
That's exactly right.
Yep.
there's no getting around the physics. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it is what it is.
Unless you press it, and then you can press thousands a minute.
Right.
Yeah.
that optical disc has always been a bite you. That's the one that's going to have the limit.
Right.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
So, all right. Thanks, all right. Mark.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Yeah. It's frustrating. You think computers can do magic. They cannot.
One thing I found out.
Well, what they can do is really, really fast. So, most of the time.
You were talking about Pentium 3s?
Yeah.
Before? Remember how I told you I had one?
Yeah.
Well, this magical smoke came out of it.
Oh, you lost the magic smoke.
Tuesday. I tried to put it back in.
Yeah, no. Once you've let that genie out of the bottle.
Yeah, it just went poof. And I'm sitting there smelling stuff because I was putting the ex-Ubuntu on it. You know, and I'm moving along and all of a sudden, poof. And I'm smelling something. And sure enough, I pull the cover off the side. And there's three capacitors there that just went like a 4th of July. Pop!
Yeah. Yeah.
They popped right on open, and it's like, it was a good machine. Yeah. I had that for so dang long.
I saw a video the other day. iFixit did a test of lithium batteries and how easy they pop and smoke and burn. Yeah. And one of the things they did is if you puncture it with your plastic tool, nothing happens.
Right.
If you puncture it with your metal tool,
everything happens.
But if you drain the battery first, they said drain it to about 25%, it will not detonate. It will not explode because there's not enough energy left in the battery. So just drain it first.
One thing I saw about, say, Duracell batteries, you know, supposedly they're dead. This thing on YouTube where you take a little boiling water. And you set them in the hot water for 1 minute. And then you have right next to it a bowl of very cold water with ice cubes in it. You put them, because the guy showed it. He had this scale. He put them in. He says, see, you can put them. They're dead. He put them in the boiling water for a minute. Then took them out. Put them in the ice cold water for a moment. 2 minutes. Pulled them out. Dried them off. Put them in the scale. Scale lit up.
Yeah, I'd want to test that myself.
I'm seeing
that it can work with lead acid batteries.
But how long does it last?
Like out of your car. And you need a solution of 2% Trilon and 5% ammonia. So this other one says one part of magnesium sulfate and three parts warm water. So, yeah, so basically you're rebuilding the chemistry in your lead acid battery. Yes, that will work.
Yes, exactly right.
But my bigger question was, all right, so it revives them?
How long?
How long? What, 2 minutes? And then all of a sudden, boom, you got to put them back in the hot water again?
That's right. Yeah, I don't trust anything on the internet anymore.
Yeah, I mean, once it's dead, it's dead as far as I'm concerned, you know,
I see one says you have to use Epsom salt, and then the right next to it, no, you don't need to use Epsom salt anymore.
Okay.
Right. Which one do you believe?
Right. Yeah, they're all fighting back and forth. And whether it's a lead acid battery, here's one that says for a lithium ion battery.
Ha! Now that makes no sense because there's no opening in a lithium ion battery.
Yeah.
How are you recharging a lithium ion battery when it's sealed?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm reading the thing. But the one thing they did show on iFixit, you know, fruit roll-ups? That's how lithium batteries look.
Yeah, it is.
You've got your lithium, your insulator. So it's the cathode, the insulator, and the anode, and then it's all
it's
rolled
just
up.
It's rolled like a cinnamon roll.
Yeah, yep. And when you puncture it, what you're doing is breaking through the resistance between the plus side and the minus side, so it short circuits. And the lithium battery stores a lot of energy. A
lot of energy.
And it discharges it as fast as it can.
Yep.
When it's there's a short circuit. Yep.
It's a capacitor. And I can remember, we had just opened up the shop down on Brighton Henry at a Town Line Road. And Dan and I were pulling the cover off an old tube monitor because we wanted to see if we could solder up some parts. And I hit a capacitor.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
Whoa. The shop was only maybe 8 foot wide in the back where we were working on it. And I touched that thing, and that threw me up against the back wall. And boom, I just sat down there. Holy shoot. That really lit me up a little bit. And it's like, yeah, I'm not going back in there again.
Yeah, I told you that's one of the reasons I don't play with electricity, because when I was a kid, I watched my father get thrown across the room, and it scarred me for life. I don't.
Yep. Well, that taught me, you know, great respect. That's why I go around now. If I'm working on any type of electricity, you know, I'm usually always killing the power, and I've got, for even like outlets, I got this thing that I could plug in to just to make sure that if I go switch it out, it's turned off.
Yep,
it doesn't light up. Or if I'm touching any wires, like I just rewired the, put a new porch light on. I got one of the LED ones.
Yeah.
And it's the opposite of my shirt. Are you sure it's not plugged in? Seriously, go check.
Yeah. Because, like I say, if that magical smoke comes out, it could fry you.
Yeah. My father-in-law, God rest his soul, came over to our house and was looking at my... God love him. He decided he was going to look at my breakers in the basement.
Mm-hmm.
He goes downstairs and he starts to reach for it, and I grabbed him and pulled him away. He said, "What are you doing?" I said, "Well, first, that breaker box is live. Second, you're standing in water.
Oh,
maybe you don't want to be doing this."
Yeah.
Because the thing we were checking was the washing machine.
Okay.
Is broken. Our basement is dry, except when the washing machine breaks.
When I was a kid, we'd spend summers on our grandparents' farm, and one day I was helping my cousin Satch mend the fence.
Oh, yeah.
Where it crossed the creek, and I was holding the crowbar, and it got heavy, so I hung it on wire.
Hell yeah.
Happened to pick the hot wire.
Yep.
So all my muscles lock, and I'm stuck there. He has to hit me.
Yeah.
Break through, because if he tries to grab me and pull me off, he'll be stuck too.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, push you with a stick or something.
Yep.
Or just like you say, throw something at you to knock you back.
Yep. That was when you were tall enough so your feet reached the pedals, you drove the truck during the hay-in.
Yep.
And the big kids had to throw the bales in the truck, and the little kids were on the truck stacking the bales. Right. Everybody worked.
Well, that's where I learned to drive stick shift, and that was the big thing in my grandfather's truck.
Through the field. We had 300 cousins in our family.
And you learned
Almost as many as you, because you're
my dad's one of 19.
One of 19, yeah. My mom was one of 9.
Yep. And I'm one of 6.
And our family was odd because we only had 3.
Yeah, I'm an only child, and that was unheard of in our family.
Then it's always your fault. That's the problem with
being an only child. But I used to spend some summers on my aunt's farm. We did the same thing. That's the first time I ever got in a car, a real car. Yep. And I looked around and said, "Where's the clutch? Where's the shifter?" Yep. I didn't understand that cars could have something called an automatic transmission.
Well, that's where I got, like I say, I'll never forget it. When I finally turned 12, because my birthday was in September, and I turned 12, I could help my grandfather out in the fields, and I was able to, because I had been watching for the longest time, helping him shift, and I was able to get in there and going up and down. The only thing I really miss about it is not having doors on it.
Yeah, right.
You never had doors on the truck. Right. You didn't need them.
I also was very confused that I couldn't just drive the car because I was 11. And apparently, off the farm, you're not supposed to drive at the age of 11. Well, who knew? Yep.
Well, the one thing I still get in trouble with, or it's been criticized, I should say, is I'm still a two-foot driver.
Oh, my wife is the same way.
You know, because my left foot always goes on the brake, right, goes on the gas, because I've always, all my vehicles. My very first car was a 57 Ford that had 3 on the tree. Then I went to Volkswagens.
Yeah, if you're used to using your left foot for the clutch, it just made sense to pivot back and forth.
That's the way I grew up. All my cars until I got married were standard shift.
Stick shifts.
Except you use your right foot for the brake and the
clutch.
The brake and the gas, and your left foot for the clutch.
Yeah.
So I never, I still use my right foot for the clutch and the brake and the gas. But I only drove standard transmission until my wife said, we have a child now, and if there's a problem and I have to take your car to the hospital, I can't.
Yep.
And that's the last time I had a standard transmission automobile.
Well, the big thing was, you know, even when I was 18 and 19 and, you know, I was helping friends move, they'd always call me. Hey, Dave, yeah. I'm renting a U-Haul truck this Saturday. Could you drive it for me? Because a lot of them didn't know how to drive stick shift. I said, yeah, all right, buy me breakfast and that. And, you know, I drive the truck for them. Because yeah, a lot of them didn't know how to drive stick shift. And it's like, I just thought everybody did because, like I say, on the farm we did.
Right. Yeah, I was much the same way. I don't know that I could do it now because of the arthritis. This left leg doesn't move the way it used to. But
did we have somebody on the phone?
Did we have somebody on the line? I don't think so.
No. Hello?
No, I think we hung up for Mark. I think we were done.
Okay. Yep. I thought I disconnected it.
I think you're just on drugs. Or not enough drugs. I don't know which that is, and no judgment here.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Better living right. Through synthetic chemicals.
Exactly right. Oh, yeah. Sad, possibly sad days for Apple people. USB-C has won the war on charging in the European Union, the EU. As of December 28th, 2024, about a year from now, smartphones, 2 years from now, smartphones, tablets, and numerous other consumer devices that charge over cable will have to support USB-C charging in order to be sold in that region, in the European Union. That means the clock is ticking on Apple's Lightning, the most prominent company resistant to the USB-C takeover. The law goes into effect on December 27th and requires compliance by 2024. So the law goes into effect now, but 2 years from now, they're done. They're done with Lightning ports or anything except USB-C. The legislation will first affect smartphones, tablets, digital cameras, headphones, headsets, earbuds, portable speakers, handheld video game consoles, e-readers, keyboards, mice, and portable navigation systems. In April of 2026, it will apply to laptops. According to the EU's directive, the legislation simplifies the use of radio equipment and reduces unnecessary waste and costs, and is necessary in particular for the benefit of consumers and other end users. It notes that despite a drop in the variety of charging devices over the years, the EU government remained unsatisfied regarding e-waste production and consumer convenience and is interested in avoiding fragmentation of the market for charging devices. In 2009, when micro-USB was crowned the charging connector of choice, agreed upon by smartphone makers, Apple went rogue in favor of its Lightning port, and if Apple had its way, a government body wouldn't be directing how its products charge come December 28, 2024 either. Apple has argued that moving what it says is 1 billion devices off its Lightning cable will be disruptive to consumers and create a vast amount of e-waste. Ironically, exactly the opposite of what consumers say the requirement will enable. Governments get to do what they're going to do, and obviously we have to comply, said Greg Joswiak, Apple Senior Vice President of Marketing. We have no choice, as we do around the world, to comply with local laws, but we think the approach would have been better environmentally and better for our customers to not have a government be that prescriptive. If we were to nitpick here, compliance could technically mean several things for the iPhone, but signs most likely point to Apple releasing an iPhone with USB-C. A report from Bloomberg earlier this year pointed to a USB-C iPhone potentially arriving as early as next year. It remains unconfirmed if that means the Lightning port will be killed off in other geographies or even the EU immediately. One way or another, it seems our time with 10-year-old Lightning port is dwindling. So, do you actually care what cable you use? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 1-800-790-0411.
I always thought for the laptops and phones and that, the Lightning connector, you know, was fantastic, you know, because what? It would just break away. So many folks that we would get.
No, that's not Lightning. That's MagSafe.
MagSafe.
Which they're going back to now.
Yes.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah.
And but that's the way. What's the Lightning one? I guess I.
That's.
It's essentially USB-C in a different format, basically.
Well, yeah. So that's Lightning, and this is your.
Oh, okay. All right.
So and actually, yes,
I'm
that's
sorry.
It. So Apple has the 30-pin docking connector on the iPads in 2003 before there were phones, and in 2012 they discontinued the 30-pin connector and went to Lightning, and the internet went crazy because now no one's cables would work. So we had 10 years of 30-pin. Now we've got 10 years of Lightning. The reason Apple created Lightning is USB-C wasn't ready yet. USB-C didn't come out until 2014.
Right.
And so Apple could have waited 2 more years on the 30-pin, but they made Lightning in the meantime. So now we've had 10 years of Lightning.
Right.
And so the EU law will affect the iPhone 17.
Right.
Because it takes place right. after 20.
And Apple's being a little disingenuous.
Yeah. But, well,
a lot disingenuous.
We've been expecting USB-C phones.
Right.
Already. So next year, maybe the year after, there's only one model of iPad that still uses Lightning. All the rest of them are USB-C. And the Lightning model is last year's iPad that they kept in the product line because it's cheaper than this year's iPad.
Right.
So, yeah, it's coming. So the one of the big fears is what happens when someone comes out with something better, USB-D. How many years is it going to take for the EU to change their...
Right. Yeah. But here's the thing that I think is disingenuous. They talk about how it's going to create all this e-waste. No, it's not. People aren't going to throw away the devices they already have. Mm-hmm. They're going to keep using them until those devices die.
Well,
isn't saying you can't use this thing. Mm-hmm. They're saying you can't sell new devices with this thing.
Well, that's like I liked when I got my new iPhone, the Google 6. Well, you need a charger? No, because it's Type C.
That's where Apple, what they've publicly said, is when they stopped including the power brick in the phones,
yeah.
It was to stop the waste because everyone already had one of those. They didn't need a new one in their phone box.
Right. Yeah, but that's different from I have to change a connector.
Yeah.
What that means is simply retooling new devices at Apple. That's not e-waste. That's change.
Mm-hmm.
And Apple doesn't like it because it's going to cost them money.
Yeah, and
they're just going to pass it on to the consumer, so they shouldn't really care.
But it's
nonsense.
They got in trouble in Brazil for selling phones without a charger.
Right.
Because that makes the phones unusable.
Right.
You have to buy something else to use this first thing, and that's against the law in Brazil.
Right.
So then they started bundling a charger. And asking people, do you need a charger? And like you said, no, I already got 6 of them in drawers at home.
Yeah,
right.
Well, you can buy.
But if you say no, yes, I need one. They have to give you one.
Yep. Well, the thing I wish they would go to is do away with all those.
Well,
I still like the Max Magma charger.
That's the fear. Is they going to remove all?
Save so many repairs because how many folks when they go to charge their phone and they don't pull that connector out just right, you can snap it.
Yep.
Whereas if it's just the magnetic charger,
we've seen that on so many phones and iPads where the cable's broken off on the
laptops
inside.
And everything else. Yeah. If they just went to that,
now you can
that's
buy.
The big fear of removing all connectors and it's magnetic charging only. But there's a lot of stuff where you really do need to plug in,
and you can get USB-C or a
magnetic
connectors.
Yeah, well, they got it for the Lightning, too. I got it from, it's called Stax. I think it's STAT.
It's a bunch of different brands.
Because I got it for the wife, and it came with all these different connectors, and it even had a Lightning one. She loves it because not only does the cord, you go to put the magnetic part, but it's on a swivel, and it swivels 300,
So you can get all kinds of them, and they're all available. Be careful which ones you buy. Some of them are not really well designed.
Yeah.
But if you get one that's well designed and rated to do what it's supposed to do, it's actually quite a beautiful thing because it does mean that A, it's easy to connect and disconnect, and B, if you trip over a cord, you don't ruin an entire thing.
Well,
there's a wide range of differences in the cables. Like my iPad wants a 10-watt charger. My computer has a 140-watt charger,
right?
So it needs a much better designed and a cable with a thicker wiring,
right?
Yeah, but it would eliminate so many repairs and damage because folks in the cords, fraying the cords. This having it on a swivel was best thing since sliced bread.
Yeah, exactly. All right, we're going to take a quick break. But we will be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. Give us a call, 585-966-5299, 1-800-790-0415. You are listening to the longest-running computer show in the known universe. That's Soundbites right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1. We will see you on the other side.
Before you call into our show, please make note of the following rules. 1. Turn your radio down. 2. Turn your radio down lower. 3. Remember, nobody has invented a good-sounding speakerphone yet. Don't use them. 4. Make sure you have a point. It makes for a more interesting show. 5. Calling does not guarantee you'll get on the air. No whining. 6. If you do get on the air, please do not tell the host what you just told the screener. We don't care. And 7. Is that radio turned down yet? We hope this will make for a more enjoyable program, and we thank you for your time.
It's America's longest-running computer show. Back to more sound bites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. Willkommen. I'm Nick Francesco.
Hey. Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 35 minutes after the hour, we are sound bites. And the good thing one of us remembered...
Well, it's like, yeah, it's on the 14th, right? And, oh, that's this week now.
Yeah, right. this week I will be presenting at the Apple Cider meeting virtually.
Virtual, yeah.
About the virtual system that they're using. So that'll be kind of fun. It's going to be an interesting thing. So if you head on over to their website, you'll see how that all works.
It's Wednesday the 14th at Apple's the Cider Lounge. Soundbites Lounge kept trying to roll off
right,
my tongue.
Exactly.
No, it's going to be the Cider Lounge.
At
applecider.org, you can find out more information about the Apple Users Group.
Right. And a link to the Cider Lounge. And we'll be there this Wednesday. And
what time?
7 p.m., 7. I believe, is
yep.
when it starts. And, of course, every Sunday night at 9 p.m., we do the Soundbites Lounge, and that's you can find a link to that on our homepage, on our beautiful new homepage, and feel free to take the poll.
Mm-hmm.
The poll, of course, is open all week, so those of you who download the podcast during the week, I would very much appreciate it if you would also vote in the poll. I know that the poll has fewer people vote in it than used to. But it's there. It's there, and I'd be interested in seeing who votes. All right. I don't see who votes. I just see that people voted.
Yeah.
All right. End-to-end encryption is coming to. I'm shocked that they don't have it already. To most of iCloud with a new optional feature called Advanced Data Protection, according to Apple's announcement on Wednesday. Previously, 14 data core categories within iCloud were protected. The new feature brings that count to 23, including photos, notes, voice, memos, reminders, Safari bookmarks, and iCloud backups of the contents of your devices. Not everything is encrypted this way, though. Critically, calendar and mail are untouched here, which surprises me. Apple says they are not covered because of the need to interoperate with a global email contacts and calendar systems. Again, disingenuous. They if it's encrypted... coming in and out, it can still be unencrypted to send to another format, but okay. U.S.-based participants in the Apple beta program software can start using advanced data protection today, and it will roll out to more Americans by year's end. If you're outside the U.S., you'll have to wait until sometime in 2023, Apple says, but they don't tell you when. Advanced data protection is the big news for most people, but Apple announced two other features related to privacy and security on iCloud. First, iCloud users may now use hardware security keys like YubiKeys. Both NFC keys and plug-in keys are supported. Second, there's iMessage contact key verification, which can alert users who face extraordinary digital threats like journalists if state-sponsored actors are hijacking or spying on their conversations in some cases. In tandem with Wednesday's announcements, Apple confirmed something most of us already figured. It is no longer working on a controversial system that was intended to identify child sexual abuse material, or CSAM, on users' iPhones. The company changed course after a public privacy and security backlash. So how secure are you feeling about the the communications and backups on your system. Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299, toll-free 1-800-790-0415.
Yeah, Apple completely misunderstood. They figured that by saying again and again that all of the scanning takes place on your phone, never on the internet, never on our servers, that people would be happy.
Yeah.
No. So now all the scanning takes place on Apple servers.
Yep.
And your photos on the server get scanned instead of the photos on your phone get scanned.
Right.
Just like Apple, Google and Microsoft and everyone else is doing. But well, Apple thought the privacy of your own phone would make people happy.
People are more concerned about performance than privacy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, nobody, they famously performed an experiment where they asked people if they would give them the password to their email for a candy bar. And then they would use that password to look at their email to prove that that was the real password before they give them a candy bar.
Yeah.
And most people said yes.
Because they don't think.
But if you were to say, I'll give you a candy bar if you let me make your phone slower, they would say no.
Yeah. Yeah. Or give me the key to your house. No.
Right.
The people don't consider their phone as important as it is.
Right.
On the other side, companies like the ACLU are trying to get our phones classified as an extension of our brain and protected under the Fifth Amendment.
Right.
Things you know are protected under the Fifth Amendment. Things you don't remember but type down in your phone so you will remember them are not protected.
That's
but
right.
The phone is an extension of our brain because our brains are full.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. We see the meme. I wonder what the section of my brain that used to remember phone numbers is doing now.
Yeah.
Back
because
in the day?
I used to remember dozens of phone numbers.
Yeah.
Back when I was an actor, we often taught theater games to people. And one of the games was a round robin of numbers. So you would say 4. Steve would then say 4-6.
Simon.
I would say 4-6-2. You would say 4-6-2-1. Get it? So you repeat everybody else's number, go around. People stalled out after 7 numbers every single time because our brains at that point were used to 7 numbers.
Yep.
Sometimes 10. Mm-hmm. Some people could struggle through 10, but that was the maximum. And it's not that you're stupid or that the brain is hardwired to not remember that many, but we hardwired our brains to remember 7 numbers because that's a phone number.
Oh, yep.
And it was
growing
just weird.
Up, that's what we had in the 50s. That's what it was. And I mean, kids nowadays, they don't even have the phones in home now where you'd go over, pick up the phone and hear other people talking.
Party
line.
The phone's in use.
You used to have to pay extra to get a single line.
That's right.
Now you pay extra to get a party line and talk with multiple people.
Right.
Yeah.
And of course, it used to be we remembered 4 numbers and an exchange.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Beverly 5, Clinton 3, whatever they all
are.
Klondike 5559. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, it used to be, Beverly 51234. That was a number.
NO was over in Greece, I remember. NO7.
North, I forget. Yeah.
Yeah. NO7, 4435 or that.
Yeah, whatever the numbers were.
You could tell by the letters what district it was going to.
Yep. Yeah, I remember a friend's phone number started with BE5.
Yep.
And I called him all the time. 7 years old, 10 years old. Hey, you want to meet up? Yeah, absolutely. All right, get on your bike. I'll meet you here.
But if somebody was on the party line and, within that exchange, you'd constantly get a busy signal.
Yep.
Until they, and you'd, where I grew up, we had a bunch of women. They'd get on the phone and they'd sit there and yak. And then they put it down for a minute.
Yeah.
And they'd walk
not
away.
Hang up, but
they'd set it down. Wait a minute, I'll be right back. And they're off doing, they're cooking and everything else. And 10 minutes later, they come back. Sylvia, you still there? Yeah, go ahead.
Yep.
Yep. And meanwhile, they tied up the phone.
Yep.
So nobody else could make a phone call.
My my father had a solution for that. A whistle.
Oh, that'd be cool.
When he needed to use the phone, he'd just blow that whistle into the phone until everybody hung up. Smart man. That he could make, because mostly he was making, he was mostly making business calls.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, he needed to make that call. So, yeah, I remember those. I remember party lines. Wow. I remember all that stuff.
The best one that comes to my memory is one night we were eating dinner. Because my dad sat at the one end of the table and it was right near the phone. And we had one rule in the house, and we had to tell all our friends, do not call between 5 and 6:30. That's dinner hour. You do not call. And sure enough, one night, you know, my sisters are getting older, and the phone rings, and we're going, what's that? Because it was never supposed to happen. And it was a boy that was interested in my sister. My dad reaches over, hello, yes, she is, and then hangs up. And Deb was mortified. She goes, was that so? Yeah. Well, what did he want? He wanted to know if you were here, and I told him yes. And then he hung up.
Yeah.
I don't know. Can you?
Yeah, right. Right. Yeah, those were the, at least I don't think any of us are old enough to remember. Mabel?
Yeah.
Connect me with the diner.
Yeah, I just found a picture going through Wikipedia on telephone of phone operators on roller skates.
Oh, yeah.
Because the switches were so big, they'd have to roll back and forth.
Yep. Yep. All right. Possibly we're going back to the phones and talking to Henry from Rochester, New York. Hi, Henry. What's up? Uh-oh. Henry, you there?
The phone.
Hang on, Henry. We'll see if there's a thing we can. Oh, it's done.
No, the unit is locked up.
The unit is locked up.
Got to crawl behind it and unplug it and plug it back in again.
That's what would have to happen. And I don't think we're going to be doing that at this point.
Hold on, Henry.
Don't go anywhere, Henry. We'll get to you. Dave's coming around.
See what I can do.
He's going to be crawling around inside the machine.
Wouldn't it make sense to have like a switch on the front? No, then you'd accidentally hit it when you.
That's exactly right.
It happened to me with a customer the other day. They're having problems with their internet. The service provider put out a new IP range or something like that, and so they kept getting proxy errors. And said, well, go into the closet, turn everything off. Wait a minute, turn it all back on again, and it never worked. So then we have to go out for service call. They didn't turn everything off.
Right.
The one thing they forgot to change was. Their turn off was the problem. And I could have sworn I put everything on a single power strip.
Yeah.
One button would turn off the router, the proxy server, the NAT, and the wireless, and everything. Yeah, nope.
All right, you there, Henry?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, good afternoon, guys. I just listened to you, and I heard Nick talking about the remembering numbers and that.
Yeah.
Got back a memory. When I was a kid... Back in the late 60s, we had one of the early electronic games that was one of those things where, you know, you pressed it, it gave you a number, you had to press the numbers in, then it gave you the same thing plus another number.
Yep, Simon.
Yep. And then they did it with colors.
Yep.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't know whether it was Simon or... But I, as far as I know, I still hold the record for that with the group that we had, 63.
Nice, wow. Henry. You're a savant of some sort. Well done.
Well, I've always been good with numbers, but I just brought back a memory of that.
That's great.
It was this kind of community game that got passed around people all around the town that I lived in, and I as far as I know, I don't think anybody ever beat me.
Nice, 63 numbers. You're a whiz.
I've always been good. I can remember numbers like crazy. Names, that's why I carry an ID around. So I remember my own name.
That's right. You used to have to look in your underwear. Now you can just look at your phone.
Okay, well, that was, I just remember that night you had said about the, you had never heard anybody beating, what was it, 11 or something like that. But
yeah. Nice. Well done, Henry. Thank you.
Okay, have a good day. Happy holiday, guys.
Happy holidays to you, too. Thanks, Henry. Yeah, that's that used to be a pretty good game.
You hear about people memorizing digits of pi to ridiculous numbers.
Right.
What is it, a million now?
Yeah. Yeah. I can remember 3.14169, I think it is.
Pi r square, cornbread is round.
Exactly. We used to play that game with kids, a theater game.
70,000 digits.
That's what one person remembers?
Yeah, in the Guinness. Well, and that was in 2015 in the Guinness Book.
Yeah.
Gee.
I don't know that the Guinness Book still is around, is it?
I think so.
Interesting. I know they've taken a lot of things out.
Yeah.
Because they were dangerous.
Yeah.
The main thing. But yeah.
Yeah, if you can come up with something that no one has ever done before, you can be the first one.
Right.
To set that record.
Right. Then 16 people are going to try to beat you.
Yeah.
But yeah, we used to play that theater game all the time with kids, getting the number, adding another number each time, and little kids could get more numbers than older kids because they hadn't
developed
been
bad habits.
Canalized into seven numbers.
Yeah.
Yep,
it was interesting.
Took him 10 hours to recite the 70,000 digits. To prove to the Guinness people that he had memorized it. And he wore a blindfold the whole time, so he couldn't be looking at anything.
Whoa.
And you can watch the video on Twitter.
For all those hours.
Yeah.
Nice.
It's called Get a Life.
That was for, you know, touching my screen doesn't work, but touching this screen does.
that's a problem. Actually, this is a touch screen. And I keep forgetting that whenever I go to, I'm working with somebody, I'll say, and then this here, now move the cursor. A lot more machines are coming with touch screens these days. It used to be the touch screens were very, very expensive.
Yeah.
And now with phones and tablets and things, touch screens have come down in price. The economy of scale.
So you can make a gazillion of them.
Right. You make the first one and it costs $10 million. Making the second one costs less than a penny. Because you've already tooled up to make the first one. So, the first one cost $1 billion, and then the next billion
pay for the first one.
Yeah, exactly. So that's economy of scale, and that's what Apple is complaining about. Right now they have an economy of scale with lightning ports. They can make them for next to nothing. If they have to retool everything to make USB-C, they make USB-C for some things, but to add it to devices that are lightning right now is going to cost them a significant amount of money.
So they have a choice of changing the lightning to USB-C or removing it completely. And so if they change,
and that's cheaper.
Right. And if they change it to USB-C, do we get another 10 years before it's removed completely?
Right. Or I suppose they could just include a converter.
They did that when the EU required micro B or whatever it was. So the EU has changed their requirements over the time.
Right.
But apparently it doesn't work now. It has to be USB-C on the device, not on the charging cable.
USB is nice in that, you can put it in either way versus, the A and the B.
Well, lightning is the same way, right?
Yeah.
There's no
wrong way to
direction.
Put it in. Yep.
Except that, again, Apple tried to jump the gun.
Mm-hmm.
And they picked
the best of a lot of what USB-C can do.
Right.
What I'm amazed at is USB-C is 24 connectors.
Yeah.
In that tiny thing.
Yep.
Lightning is 7, I think it is. Yeah, and USB-A is a 4.
Right. Right.
So how in the world did they get 24, 12 on the top, 12 on the bottom?
Precision engineering.
Yeah. One thing I hope will make it better, to Dave's point, because lightning, you have a male plug and you put into the female socket.
Right.
Which means you can break this off pretty easy.
Right.
But USB-C, the connector is female, and you're plugging into a male.
Right.
Now, if you happen to break it off, it's going to break off in the device and cost even more.
Yeah.
Right.
And that's where I still say they should even do away with that and go to the MAG.
Yep.
The MAG is so much easier, prevent damage, whether it's laptop,
the magnetic
phones.
Chargers cost more.
The magnetic chargers cost more, and Apple owns a patent on it. And if you want to use MagSafe, theoretically, you pay Apple.
That's why the third-party ones look just different enough.
They look a little different, and they work just a little differently.
And they're not self-contained.
Right.
And, I mean, the number of laptops we used to get in because people would grab the laptop and forget that it was still plugged in, and, you know, all of a sudden, they bring it in, and they want you to, it's right here. Shouldn't be much. What they didn't realize is when you took that laptop apart, it's on the bottom side of the circuit board. So you had to undo the whole laptop, which were literally hundreds of screws.
And then when you did that, you had to be able to unsolder a multi-layer board.
Yep.
Which is not something for the faint of heart or unsteady of hand.
Yeah. Well, that's right.
I know people who can do it. And
I did it a couple of times.
I know people who can do it, but...
I learned from my brother, believe it or not. I learned from my brother because he works in that field. And, I mean, he'd come over sometimes. He was the first one. When we used to have to get the memory chips that had all those little pins.
Oh, yes.
And put them... My brother could sit there and unsolder all of those real clean, pull it out, put in a new one, slick it. So I learned from an expert, and he showed me the different tricks and trades, and it's like...
Yeah, I had a friend who said unsoldering them is easy. Not necessarily safe.
Yeah.
Or it doesn't often work, but unsoldering them is easy. Soldering.
Taking things apart is easy.
Well, exactly.
The unsoldering, now they've got what they call the braid.
Right.
And the stuff, you just lay it there and you can just hit it and heat it and it sucks up the solder.
Solder sucker.
Yeah. Well, like a solder sucker. Yeah. Just sort of like. But soldering is you've got to put just the right amount of heat or otherwise you're lifting pads or you could cause damage to the component. And that's always a...
And you don't want to get cold shots and you don't want to get cracks and it just, it's... It's a fiddly little thing, and there are. I mean, that's why most of it's done by computer nowadays.
Oh,
little robots that just
flow machines.
You're done.
Yep.
But that's not. You know, you're not going to have one of those in your home, and each one of them is bespoke, right? I mean, it's designed specifically for a certain circuit board and certain chips that go on that circuit board.
Yeah, and the right amount of heat. That's the key thing.
Right. So they don't have a generic, you know. It's right. It's not science fiction, right? Hey robot, take this thing and put it on the circuit board. Nope, it's not how it works. You have a machine that was designed specifically for a certain board. So that's the way it is. All right, listen, everybody, make sure you vote in the poll, will you? We're doing pretty well, actually. We're doing, we have 54 votes in the poll already. Please vote in the poll. I would like that very much. We'll see how that goes. And you're going to have to let us know what you think of the new design, by giving us a call, but not today because we're almost done. We're almost done here, but the new design is up. It's working. Steve was able to add links.
Yep.
And the poll works, and it's all good. So that music tells us that we are done for another week. I want to thank everybody who called in. I want to thank everybody who voted in the poll. I want to thank people for their donations. That was very nice. And we're done for another week. I want to thank Dave Enright. I want to thank Steve Ray. I'm Nick Francesco. Listen, this week, pay attention if you have an issue on your computer. Pay attention to what the error message says. So if you have to give us a call or any technician, you've written down that error message so that you can help your technicians to help you. But we are done for another week. This has been Soundbites on the great member-supported Jazz 90.1. We will see you in just 166 hours. Be good to one another.